The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley Spearmint Gum every day as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Bookmakers.
I don't see it, Larry. Not a single one on the block.
Well, here it is right here. Number 18.
Where?
Right here. Maurice Bingaman. Bibliopole. Come on.
Bibliopole? That means bookstore?
Bookseller. After you, Bob.
Thanks. This place is like no bookstore I ever saw. It's more like a mausoleum.
Yes, gentlemen.
Mr. Bingaman?
That's right. Can I be of service?
Yeah, we want to buy a book, unless my friend here got the wrong address.
I believe you're in the right place. What kind of book have you in mind? Archival material, Buddhist canon, early Americana?
Huh?
We'd like early Americana, please.
Post 1800 or before.
What's the difference?
That depends. It can be a difference of $100,000.
I knew this wasn't the place.
My friend isn't too familiar with the price of rare books, Mr. Bingaman. I'm looking for something along the figure of $100. Specifically, Waldseemüller's Geography of 1507.
Waldseemüller's Geography?
Of 1507, yes. Blackie Genovese was sure you could help me.
So why didn't you say so in the first place? Why make me go through all that mishmash?
I'm sorry, Bingaman. It's your own fault. You sounded so legitimate, I thought maybe this wasn't the place.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I sound so legitimate, I often fool myself. So anyway, now we can be relaxed. What can I sell you?
What have you got?
Everything, my friend. The 1493 edition of the Epistola, in which Christopher Columbus reports the discovery of the New World, Peter Martyr's contemporary accounts of the Spanish conquistadores, the redoubtable Captain John Smith's birch bark account of Pocahontas, 1608. You name it, I got it.
Apparently.
And if I haven't, I can make you anything you want in 10 days. Maybe 2 weeks.
All we want is something you can't read that'll convince Arnold Camelton it's the McCoy.
Arnold Camelton?
Our, shall we say, wealthy dilettante.
I have just the thing you're looking for. One of the very rarest of them all. Thomas Harriot's Virginia, 1588. Magnificently preserved in his own hand.
And what's it worth?
Roughly $250,000.
How much are you asking?
$162.75.
That's just the thing we're looking for.
So is Camelton. We'll throw the book at him, but good.
In the files of your FBI are varied kinds of swindles ranging from the ordinary to the highest extremes of cleverness and preparation. One of the outstanding schemes on record was worked successfully by a pair of swindlers most commonly known as Bert Hodges and L.A. Lawrence. Their swindle was expert and thoroughly worked out. The essentials were a bibliophile, a rare book forgery, and a visit to the bibliophile from Mr. Bert Hodges, private detective.
And what, may I ask, could a private detective want with me?
Well, Mr. Camelton, this is a rather delicate matter. My client thought I'd better...
Never mind what your client thought. Just answer my question.
Well, sir, it's about a certain gentleman friend of your wife's, a retired bibliographer.
Bibliography? You're not referring to Mr. Lawrence.
I am, sir, to Mr. L.A. Lawrence himself. He's interested in rare books, all right, only he's so interested that he recently served as librarian in the Lewisburg Penitentiary.
What's that?
Yes, sir. 2 years for, to say it mildly, odd practices as chief librarian of the famous McGregor Foundation of American Historical References.
I can't believe it. Not Mr. Lawrence.
Well, it is hard to believe, him being such a slick article, knowing books the way he does.
Well, what did he do?
What didn't he do would be more like it. You see, his job was to protect these rare editions in the McGregor collection. Only instead...
Yes?
Instead, he substituted various forgeries of his own. He might never have been found out if the forger hadn't been a Southerner and made a personal change in Lincoln's Gettysburg address.
He was found out because of that, huh?
He was. Only trouble was, my client never found the rare editions that were stolen.
Valuable prints, I suppose.
Oh, very. Letters of Hernandez Cortez, Debris' superb series of voyages, Thomas Harriot's Virginia.
You don't say.
Oh, I do, sir. And I also say he still got them hidden away somewhere.
But why don't you arrest him?
Why? I'm not a police officer, Mr. Camilton. Besides, Lawrence served his time. We have nothing concrete that would warrant court order.
I see.
And frankly, my client, the McGregors, are more interested in the return of their books than the return of L.A. Lawrence to prison. That's why I'm here to begin with. We wouldn't want him to palm off one of our books on you.
On me?
Uh-huh. We think he's been selling the books to private individuals at less than a third of what they're worth. Well, I've said my piece. I've got to be going along now. Thank you for hearing me out. Just be careful, that's all. I wouldn't want this Lawrence character to take you in, Mr. Camilton. I sure wouldn't.
Back to the bookmakers in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. You can chew Wrigley's Spearmint after meals, between meals, anytime, and as long as you want. You get your satisfaction from the delicious flavor and the natural, pleasant chewing. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is wholesome and good for you. So make your daily treat Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. It's a treat you can trust for healthful daily enjoyment. Always keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum handy in your purse or pocket. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in peace and war. The Bookmakers.
Inspector.
Yes?
Agent Stevens and Agent Reynolds of the FBI are here to see you.
Oh, thank you, Miss Davis. Send them right in.
And as soon as I reported the facts on this swindle to our district attorney, he suggested we get in touch with you people immediately. He said you've been after these two for the past 6 months.
A year is closer, Inspector.
Well, here's a statement we got from the complainant. A very candid statement, as you'll see.
How much did they take him for, Inspector?
$15,000 they took her for. Mrs. James Ellery, husband deceased.
$15,000? The ante seems to be going up.
How did the woman find out she'd been swindled, Inspector?
Coincidence, Mr. Stevens. Pure coincidence. A friend happened to say... Well, it's all down there in the statement. You'll want to read it, won't you?
Yes, thanks. We can get to that later.
Well, as I say, she was very candid. She admitted frankly that she'd have never been swindled if she hadn't been grabby. Of course, you are both familiar with their racket.
We know the basic operation, but the subject matter generally varies. We're familiar with paintings, coins, jewels. Did one of them set himself up as a former museum official who'd been sent to jail?
Well, partly. The older one, this,
Lawrence.
Yes, he claimed he was a former librarian.
Librarian?
Uh-huh. Maybe you better have a look at this book, along with that statement.
Book, huh? That must be the latest variation.
Eyewitness account of Bacon's Rebellion. Grabby is right. As I recall, the original manuscript is in the Library of Congress.
That's how Mrs. Ellery found out. A friend of hers saw it there on a visit to Washington.
May we keep this, too, Inspector?
Yeah, sure, if it'll help any.
It may. This is an expert forgery. There aren't too many boys who can put out this sort of thing. We might get a lead from it.
Well, I sure hope so. And if you do catch up with those two, Mr. Stevens, I wish you'd write me a line and read them the riot act.
And my husband and I would be very happy if you could make it for dinner tonight, Mr. Lawrence.
Tonight? Well, I'm sorry, Miss Calder, but I have a previous engagement with Lord Denman.
Oh, well, are you free tomorrow night?
Tomorrow, yes, I am.
Well, good. Then we'll expect you at 7.
At 7, I'll be there. Goodbye, Mrs. Camilton. See you then.
Goodbye, Mr. Lawrence.
He's coming?
Yes.
7 for dinner?
Yes. Arnold.
Hmm?
Do you really think this is wise? I mean...
What's the matter? Lawrence is your friend, isn't he? The type of person I should spend more time with, you said.
All right, rub it in. Nevertheless, the fact remains.
Now, don't look so self-righteous, Hortense. After all, I didn't get my money without cutting a few corners, and that never stopped you from spending it.
All right, Arnold, I only say
so
that you...
don't say it. You don't get money by playing policeman, and you don't get first editions by playing one either. That's something you simply will not understand.
Oh, I understand, all right, but if I were you, I wouldn't play anything with Mr. Lawrence.
All right, you wouldn't. You're not me.
That private detective told you he served time in prison. Arnold, there are moments when I just don't understand you. Respected member of society, a decent, fine person, until someone mentions the word rare book, and then...
Female psychology, Hortense. Women just can't get excited about anything unless it's diamonds or furs. Just think of any of the volumes in my library as a Canadian wild mink, and perhaps you'll get the idea.
I get the idea, and it has nothing to do with books. All you care about is possession.
Hortense.
Well, I'm sorry, Arnold. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's the truth. Would you like me to invite anyone else to the dinner?
Certainly not.
As you wish.
Not on your life. We'll just have the three of us. A few before-dinner cocktails, and then a few after-dinner cocktails, and then... Well, then we'll have dinner.
Well, that was a splendid dinner, Mrs. Campbellton. Splendid.
It certainly was, my dear. Another glass of wine, Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, no, thank you. Not another thing after that delicious dessert.
Well, I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Mr. Lawrence.
Mr. Lawrence, Mr. Campbellton, Mrs. Campbellton. I'm going to be the first to break the ice, Larry. What do you say you and I smoke a couple of cigars and have a look at my library?
Well, I'd certainly enjoy that, Mr. Campbellton. Well, if Mrs. Campbellton, Hortense wouldn't mind.
No, on the contrary, I was searching for an excuse to go redo my face.
Good, good. Larry, you come with me and we'll join the ladies shortly.
All right.
Take your time, Arnold. My headache is worse. I may be forced to retire early.
Certainly, my dear. After you, Larry.
Oh, thank you. Arnold, if Hortense isn't feeling just right, perhaps it would be wiser if I left.
Nonsense, not at all. You know women. It's more men talk than headache. They just aren't with it. Well, there's the Campbellton collection. What do you think?
I think with all the wine I've consumed, I'm seeing double.
That's what my friends all tell me. But you're not. I just like a lot of reading on hand, that's all.
Well, you certainly must. May I look at this?
Oh, certainly.
The Codex Tulane.
Ah, one of my pets. A pre-Columbian genealogy of the Mixtec King.
Yes, I saw the original. Painted, I believe, on a white deerskin scroll some 14 feet long.
Well,
Oh, I'm sorry, Arnie. I didn't mean to interrupt your... description.
Maybe you know more about the Codex than I do. After all, I'm only an amateur dabbler.
Well, we can't all have professional skill, can we?
Perhaps we can't, any more than we can all of us have a questionable past.
I beg your pardon?
I don't wonder.
What?
Any more than we can conceal our background.
I think you consume more wine than I, Arnie.
Perhaps, but not more Lewisburg.
Huh?
And not more books from the McGregor Library, Larry. Library, Larry, that's hard to say.
Miss Gamilton.
Oh, we're formal again.
If this is some sort of intoxicated prank...
Oh, no prank, intoxicated or otherwise, and unless you consider a $50,000 offer for your Thomas Harriot a prank...
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything at all.
Arnie, you're drunk. I've got a good mind to walk out of here and never come back.
Uh-huh. Well?
On the other hand...
Ah.
On the other hand, I like you.
We like each other.
I like your wife.
All of us, we're crazy for each other.
Therefore, Arnie, I think it might be a nice idea to take a stroll on the terrace and talk things over. Something good might come of it. Who knows?
Back to the bookmakers in just a moment. Friends, when you chew Wrigley's spearmint gum, that good, delicious chewing just naturally helps to keep your mouth clean, fresh, and sweet. The natural chewing action helps to clean your teeth. The lively, refreshing flavor of Wrigley's spearmint chewing gum sweetens your breath and gives your mouth a fresh, clean feeling. So you see, Wrigley's spearmint gum gives you more than chewing enjoyment and satisfaction. It's good. And it's good for you. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a long-lasting treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling. Get a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum next time you're at the store. Enjoy it often every day, as millions of people do. Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War. The Bookmakers.
Yes, gentlemen.
Mr. Bingaman?
That's right. Can I be of service?
Mr. Maurice Bingaman?
Yes.
FBI. Here are our credentials.
Oh, you want Mr. Bingaman?
It won't work, Maurice.
It won't. So, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So, what can I do for you?
You'll find out. Let's go.
All right, Bert, I'm all set to go. Where's the Thomas Harriot?
Right here, wrapped and ready.
You know the routine, eh?
Backwards. That's a nice twist, Larry.
I think so. Why shell out money for a new forgery when this one will do the job again and again?
Why, indeed. Well, so long, I'll be arresting you in an hour.
I look okay?
Elegant. Just like a guy who's going to knock off a 50G transaction.
Thank you, Bud. 1 hour. And I promise to give myself up without a struggle.
Yes? Oh, come in, my dear, come in.
Hello.
Look what I just got hold of, Hortense. Thomas Harriet's Virginia.
Hey, your husband's a shrewd bargain, Mrs. Campbellton. I counted on getting at least twice the price for that book.
I'll bet you did. Doesn't look like much, does it, dear? But it's a collector's dream.
Will you please stop talking for a minute and listen? There's a stranger at the door to see you, and I believe he's that detective person.
Huh? Detective person?
I told you not to get mixed up in something like this. I told you.
Never mind. You told me. Tell the detective we're not here.
I did, but he says he knows different. Also, he said he saw Mr. Lawrence come in.
Detective person?
I'll explain in a minute. Hortense, go stall him for a second, will you?
I'll try, but he doesn't look like a man who can be put off.
All we need is a minute. You stall him.
I'll do my best.
Detective person?
Man named Hodges. The McGregors hired him to watch you.
Oh, so that's how you knew.
But we'd better talk about that later. Right now.
Yes?
No sense mincing words. Right now, mum's the word. You play ball with me, I'll play ball with you.
I see.
You've never mentioned any book to me. I've never mentioned any money to you. Right?
Right, only...
Yes?
I better hide the Thomas Harriot.
Of course,
Nothing conceals itself like it's like. The bookcase.
Ah, certainly. Just a minute.
How's that?
Yeah, perfect.
Come in. And I said to the guide, that's the last hunting trip for me.
Well, no wonder. I don't blame you.
Come right in, Mr. Hodges. Come right...
Hodges? Thank you, Mrs. Campbellton.
Yes, sir.
My name is Stevens.
Stevens?
Stevens?
These are my credentials. FBI.
FBI?
FBI?
You're under arrest, Lawrence.
Well, arrest for what?
I'm afraid there isn't time to list all the charges. Where's the book?
What book?
The one you had with you when you came in.
Well, I had no book with me. I'm sure Mr. Camelton will bear me out. Won't you, Arnie?
Huh?
I had no book with me, did I? Oh,
certainly not.
Mr. Campbellton.
No book, and he didn't try to sell me any either.
I don't believe I mentioned anything about selling, Mr. Campbellton.
Well, this
man is a swindler. If you've been sold a bill of goods...
So he's not expecting me, lady, but I'm going in anyhow. Oh, so there you are, Lawrence. You're under arrest.
Oh, no. Mr. Hodges.
I told him you were busy, Arnold, but he wouldn't be put off either.
You bet I wouldn't. Empty your pockets, Lawrence. Where's the book?
What book? Ixnay, Bert.
Don't give me Ixnay. I saw you bring it in. I'm on to you, Lawrence. Now, don't try to buck the law.
That's good advice.
Who are you, Mr.
Bert?
No talk from you, Lawrence. Just empty the pockets. You're under arrest.
He's already under arrest.
What? Hey, what are you? Some kind of a wise guy?
Yeah, a federal wise guy.
Huh?
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I'm sorry, Bert, but I did say Ixnay.
Will someone kindly tell me what's going on?
They are, Mr. Campbellton. They're going on record. Come on, let's get started.
Just a minute. Mr. Campbellton.
Yes?
I'll take my book, thank you.
What book?
Don't give me that what book. This book. I'm not letting $160 go down the drain.
$162.75.
And I'm not letting $50,000. I'll take my $50, thank you.
What $50?
After you, Mr. Stevens. Let's go.
Now, boys.
Huh?
Hand it over, huh?
Oh. Well, no harm in trying. It was lovely money while it lasted. I hope you've learned something from this experience, Mr. Hamilton.
I have. I've learned what comes from learning how to read. Now on, the only book I'm making is The Horses.
L.A. Lawrence and Bert Hodges were arrested and subsequently charged with fraud, along with Maurice Bingaman. Bingaman pleaded guilty, but Hodges and Lawrence steadfastly maintained an innocent air until they heard the words, 6 years each in prison. Then they threw themselves on the mercy of the court, hoping for suspended sentences. The hope died with the cell doors closing out all bets on the bookmakers.
Remember, friends, when you want a tasty treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get satisfaction from the pleasant chewing. It gives you comfort, helps relieve tension, and helps to tide you over till mealtime. So do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. You can enjoy it as often as you want because you know it's good and good for you. Inexpensive, too. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Bill Johnstone played the part of L.A. Lawrence. Alan Hewitt was Arnold Hamilton. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Sentimental Streak, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Here's how you can repower your car's engine with the next two tankfuls.